Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we asked the question, who is the Senate parliamentarian and the person that might actually be calling the shots on the future of amnesty in the U.S. Senate? We do a congressional update and talk about how there was a massive blow dealt to the Biden regime, and it's a good thing for our country. We also talk about how Republicans can secure the southern border by acting, by doing the right thing. We talk about that and so much more. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support to get behind the work we are doing right now on the Charlie Kirk Show to help us hire more staff, to expand our team, to allow us to research more articles and go boldly where no other show has gone before. I want to thank Diana from Orangevale, California. Thank you so much for your generous support. Shelly from Magnolia, Texas, for your very generous support. Thank you so much. I want to thank James from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I want to thank Michael from Tennessee. Thank you so much for your generous support. CharlieKirk.com/support to allow us.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. One of the most powerful people in the country has decided to speak up. One of the most powerful people in America is someone that is not a household name. It's not Chuck Schumer. It's not Nancy Pelosi. It's not Mitch McConnell. It's not Joe Biden. It's not even Ron Klain. One of the most powerful people in America is the parliamentarian of the United States Senate. We ask the question quite often, who is in charge? Who's actually making rules and who is making laws? Who is making decisions that will impact the future of our country? It certainly isn't the people where it should be. The sovereign of our country should be the people. But far too often, the people in charge are unknown. They are almost hidden in plain sight, but they don't get daily news attention. Since 1935, the United States Senate has had a parliamentarian. Since 1935, a parliamentarian is someone who interprets the Senate rules and tells the United States Senate whether or not certain pieces of legislation are allowed to pass with 50 votes or with 60 votes, or what sort of threshold is necessary to actually get these pieces of legislation passed. Now, this might seem like an unnecessary wonky focus that we have on this, but this is critically important when the Senate is 50-50 and Chuck Schumer and his cartel of open border Democrats are doing everything they possibly can to push widespread amnesty in a spending bill. So the way that the Senate rules are written and the way that the Senate rules have been put together basically necessitates involving the Senate parliamentarian. This person is the analyzer of the rules. This person is the final say as far as advising whether or not a bill actually is consistent with the rules that every Senate votes on at the beginning of their term. So Chuck Schumer tried to do something very sneaky. Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders, they tried to put in a mass amnesty clause into the reconciliation bill, the $3.5 trillion spending bill. And this largely unknown parliamentarian by the name of Elizabeth McDonough. She said that this attempt to try to sneak amnesty into the budget reconciliation bill is against Senate rules. Now, she is not the first parliamentarian to say this. Senate rules have been defied before. It's been 46 years since the last time the Senate parliamentarian ruling was ignored. Now, Chuck Schumer comes out and he says, well, I'm deeply disappointed in this decision. But he says that he plans to meet with the Senate parliamentarian in the coming days to pursue other options. Chuck Schumer says, our economy depends more than ever on immigrants. Now, let me just take a pause. We predicted on this program, actually, Andrew O'Connor, can you pull up that article from American Greatness, please, where we predicted that they are going to create economic catastrophe and make an immigration argument because to try to say that immigration and amnesty will solve the economic crisis that we created. We predicted that. And Chuck Schumer is now saying that. He says, our economy depends more than ever on immigrants. The article I wrote for American Greatness says, weaponizing inflation and immigration. We came under a lot of criticism for that article. Because people said, how dare you, Charlie, go after the intentions of the Democrats? How dare you try to criticize their motives? So we did that on April 22nd, and it's proving to be true. Chuck Schumer continued by saying, despite putting their lives on the line during the pandemic and paying their fair share of taxes, they remain locked out of the federal assistance that served as a lifeline for so many families. Hold on, time out. Now, I'm not as well-versed into the law-breaking, border-jumping community of people that are here illegally, but if illegals and foreign nationals are paying their fair share of federal taxes, unless there's been some development I'm unaware of, they're stealing Social Security numbers and breaking the law and actively engaging in felonies to pay their fair share in taxes. That's the only way that what Chuck Schumer is saying is true. Basically saying, look, look at all of these illegals that are constantly breaking our laws to go steal Social Security numbers, and they can't get stimulus checks. This is the argument that Chuck Schumer is making, is that they illegally entered our country, they illegally stayed in our country, they take Social Security numbers, they undercut wages, they are a pull and a drain on social services. And Chuck Schumer says, you know what the big problem is? They're not able to get stimulus checks, which is actually not the case in California. Where in California, Governor Mussolini has actually allowed state funds to help illegals coming into our country. We're going to have a whole flash report on the border and what's happening with the erosion of our national sovereignty in just a minute. Chuck Schumer continued by saying, we will continue fighting to pursue the best path forward to grant them the ability to obtain lawful status. Ilhan Omar comes out and attacks the Senate parliamentarian and says, this ruling by the parliamentarian is only a recommendation and the White House can and should ignore it. But they have a problem. Their problem is that Joe Manchin and Sinema and some of these other blue dog Democrats, and I hesitate to even call them blue dog Democrats. Let's just call them less radical Democrats. I think that's a better description. They're not going to play ball with defying and ignoring the Senate parliamentarian. So over the weekend, while you were watching football or spending time with your friends or the last couple days of a very hot summer, little did you know that the parliamentarian of the United States Senate inserted herself and said, pause, time out. You are not able to grant mass amnesty under a spending bill. You're going to need 60 votes to do that. The significance of this is that the big, bold, and transformational agenda, the agenda that would change the country forever, has now been put in jeopardy by a woman who actually worked for the Department of Justice on immigration issues, Elizabeth McDonough, I think I'm saying that name correctly, where she worked as a trial attorney for the Department of Justice handling immigration cases in New Jersey. And not even her opinion, her most creative interpretation should say, look, Chuck Schumer, you're not going to be able to get amnesty passed with just 50 votes or with even with 51 votes. You're going to need 60 votes, which means that Joe Biden and his aim and his objective alongside Chuck Schumer to try and legalize tens of millions of people that broke the law to come into America is dead on arrival. And that's a good thing for America.
I often talk about the crushing debt and lack of jobs that come with the broken college system in our country and how entering a trade or vocational school can provide great career opportunities where you are and skills will always be in demand. I want to talk to you about a good friend of mine, a great American who runs an organization called the American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing. Maybe you're looking for a career. Maybe you just graduated high school. Maybe you are not really sure what you want to do with your life. Well, the American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing is a place where you can get a skill in 6 months, and 93% of the people that go through this training get jobs with wages of $50,000 and can earn to $70,000 or $80,000 a year. And you might say, what is it? Well, it's trainingndt.com. That's trainingndt.com to learn how you can have an opportunity to work in industries such as aerospace, oil, gas, nuclear, and alternative energy as a technician performing critical inspections that make our world a safer place. So non-destructive testing is where you are inspecting America's critical infrastructure. Let me tell you why this is important. It's recession-proof. Even if the economy goes down, things we already have need to get inspected. Critical infrastructure needs to be looked at. Rocket ships need to be looked at. Nuclear plants need to be looked at. And guess what? The people going into non-destructive testing needs to go up because so many people are retiring. There's a huge opportunity out there for you. Their program consists of 6 months online education, followed by 3 weeks at the American Institute campus, using state-of-the-art inspection equipment such as ultrasonics, capturing x-rays, and producing magnetic fields to inspect critical components to ensure their safety and reliability. I want you to know that Don Booth, the CEO, is a patriot, and his whole team cares about the future of every single graduate. So if you guys are looking for a job, looking for a career, looking for the next thing to do in life, or maybe you're 40 or 50 years old, you're like, man, I want a fresh start. Go to trainingndt.com and learn about this exciting and rewarding career. We here on the Charlie Kirk Show want to give the muscular class a voice. 93% job placement. It's pretty amazing. No college can tell you that. 93% job placement working with your hands, maybe in aerospace, oil, gas, nuclear, or alternative energy. Go to trainingndt.com and learn about this exciting and rewarding career.
Democrats, they have a lot going for them. One thing they do not know how to do is they do not know how to deal with adversity. This regime that is currently running our country, they struggle with opposition. This is one of the reasons why I am trying to get conservatives to mount a counteroffensive against what this regime is doing, because they are far more fragile than I think people realize. That they are not able to deal with criticism, confrontation. And when they get into a state of confusion, all of a sudden they start fighting amongst themselves. This is why a unified conservative movement and ignoring people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger is so critically important. Cut 14 is a cut from MSNBC, where they are covering this development over the weekend of Elizabeth McDonoghue, is a parliamentarian for the United States Senate, and she blocked the entire passage of the amnesty bill. And what does MSNBC have to say about this? Well, Mehdi Hasan comes out and says, you know what? Democrats are going to get voted out because we can't get our agenda through. You see, as soon as they come up against any opposition, they shatter. Let's play that tape.
Now, Eamon, Democrats being Democrats, they're not going to overrule the parliamentarian. They're not going to fire the parliamentarian, which means they're going to go into the midterms next year saying, we couldn't give you all the wonderful things we wanted to give you because of the parliamentarian. And voters will say, who the hell is the parliamentarian? And vote out Democrats. Yep.
So basically he's saying is, why are we listening to this parliamentarian? Who cares about the Senate rules? What matters is the will of the people. What matters is what we want to do. Well, Matt, we don't really care about the rules or the process. And they are increasingly worried, this regime, that their big picture promises, their transformational agenda of mass amnesty, of H.R. 1, of H.R. 4, H.R. 5, will all come up against the thing they hate the most, which is the rule of law. Now, this is not law, but this is procedure. These are guardrails. These are rules that are put in place to try to prevent the U.S. Senate from becoming a institution that moves too fast and engages with the whims and the madness of the people. Not just the people, but of the body politic. The Senate is supposed to be deliberately slow. The Senate is supposed to be an institution that allows the hot cup of coffee to cool off a little bit that comes out of the House of Representatives. The Democrats don't really know how to deal with this, and they are realizing that their short-term grasp on power is coming to an end. They have not passed their transformational agenda, regardless of what they've tried to do on the southern border and keep the borders completely and totally wide open. And do you notice how the regime media has not been covering what's happening with illegal immigration at all? Right now, there are 12,000 Haitians on the southern border illegally trying to come into the country. Rough estimates are there are 1.8 million people that have entered into Texas alone, Texas and the southern border, just this year.
Have you heard of shrinkflation? Shrinkflation is where your candy bar or your burger gets smaller, but the price stays the same. Have you noticed this? It's happening all the time, everywhere. But the government still insists that inflation is under control. Shrinkflation is just inflation's evil cousin. Noble Gold is ahead of the game here. With a precious metal IRA under your belt, you'll hedge these rising prices and plan to retire without worrying about it. So keep up with the inflation that folks in Washington are trying to hide. And to thank you, Noble Gold is giving you a free at 5 ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com or call 877-646-5347. noblegoldinvestments.com.
There is a crisis on the southern border, and it does not involve Robert Francis O'Rourke. And so Robert Francis O'Rourke, the fake Irishman, the fake Hispanic Irishman, he's very much Irish, thinking of running for the governor's mansion in Texas, doesn't involve him, but it does involve the millions of people that are illegally flowing into our country. John Adams famously, in a letter to the Secretary of State, John Marshall, said, "Why should we take the bread out of the mouths of our own children and give it to strangers?" Frederick Douglass, who was incredible, and Frederick Douglass does not get enough attention, in my opinion, by Republicans, by conservatives, by commentators, said, "The old employments by which we have heretofore gained our livelihood are gradually, and may it seem inevitably, passing into other hands. Every hour sees the black man elbowed out of employment by some newly arrived immigrant, whose hunger and whose color are thought to give him a better title to the place." He's making a moral argument that when you form a government, your duty, your responsibility is first and foremost to your fellow countrymen, to your citizens, not to the foreigner, not to the newly arrived person. Alexander Hamilton was an immigration hawk. It's kind of interesting. When you saw the play Hamilton before the Fauci virus hit in New York City, all of these kind of very left-wing activists were all about Hamilton. I said, "Do you actually know what Hamilton believed and why he believed it?" Hamilton wrote, "The influx of foreigners must therefore tend to produce a heterogeneous compound to complicate and confound public opinion, to introduce foreign propensities. In the composition of such society, the harmony of ingredients is all important, and whatever tends to a discordant intermixture must have an injurious tendency. James Madison famously said, "Our kind reception of emigrants is very proper, but it is dictated more by benevolence than by interested consideration, though some of them may seem very far from regarding the obligations as lying on their side." The Founding Fathers realized that an unrestricted, unregulated flow of people coming into your country will have long-term effects on your culture, on your language, on your economy, and the future of your nation. As Edmund Burke said, there is a three-tied knot we must care about: people that came before us and what they did, what we are living through now, and generations that are to come. Under this false narrative that we must do everything we possibly can to have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 million people coming into our country every single year, we are now seeing the damaging effects of open borders and the deterioration and evaporation of national sovereignty. Cut 10, Fox News report on the southern border, how there are 12,000 illegals camping out and hundreds flowing across the river. Now, let me just say, this particular camp of illegals, they went on a boat from Haiti to Mexico and then walked up to the Mexican border. If Mexico is not going to enforce the southern border alongside us, then we need to start to have Texas mobilize their 20,000 members of the National Guard, give Texas Rangers arrest authority, and end this once and for all. Cut 10.
Harris, good morning to you. I tell you what, it is pretty wild to experience this from the ground. Just take a look at the conditions down here. It looks like we're not in the United States. The conditions here are like a third world refugee camp. And again, as you mentioned, there are about 12,000 migrants still living under this bridge right now after they crossed illegally. You can see many of them are using sticks, plants, whatever they can find to build temporary structures. Take a look at this video we shot Saturday. This was remarkable. We were on a boat in the Rio Grande, and we watched hundreds of people walking across the river from Ciudad Acuña right into the United States.
I just have a question, a very simple question. You have 12,000 Haitians that come from Port-au-Prince all the way to Mexico to the southern border. Who paid for this boat? Who is the captain of this ship? Who is in charge of the logistics of getting the Haitians thousands of miles from Haiti to Mexico to illegally enter into the country? Are there nonprofits or NGOs, non-government organizations, that are actively involved in sponsoring, facilitating, and overseeing Haitians that are coming across the Gulf of Mexico to Mexico and then cross into America? Just using prudence and common sense, using just your thinking faculty, using reason, they did not do this on their own. You're trying to tell me 12,000 Haitians got together. They said, hey, here's a good idea. Why don't we pool together all of our resources and go kind of just buy out a cruise ship and go to the eastern shore of Mexico? Of course they didn't say that. Instead, the logical question that no one in our media is asking, or no one seems to care, is, wait a second, how is it that they logistically went from Haiti? By the way, this is during hurricane season. Okay, this is during a time when it's not exactly the easiest passageway to go through the Gulf of Mexico, all the way to the eastern shores of Mexico. Where did they land? What port did they get off on? Does Mexico even want to pretend like they have a Coast Guard? I don't know if they do or not, but I'm guessing they have something. Is Mexico okay with 12,000 Haitians just hitting their shores and then walking up to the American border? Is Mexico complicit with this? Is the Mexican government playing ball with this nonprofit NGO, potentially internationalist and globalist project to bring people from Haiti to Mexico to America? This is a lot of logistics. Who's in charge here? Who's actually monitoring this? Does anyone in the Republican Party want to actually use whatever political power they have to look into this? I guarantee you this, and it will come out if there's actually some honest reporting done, that there is a well-funded NGO or nonprofit organization that is actively involved in identifying and assisting Haitians to get onto boats and sending them across the Gulf of Mexico. Mexico said on Sunday it would begin deporting Haitians to their homeland. Haitians have been migrating to the U.S. in large numbers from South America for several years, many having left their Caribbean nation after the earthquake. But no one asks the obvious question, where were their matching Biden shirts? Did they have the Joe Biden shirts and the big signs that says Joe Biden let me in, as we grew accustomed to 6 or 7 months ago? Remember when all of a sudden people were on the southern border and they had these shirts and they said, we love you, Joe Biden, please let us in. You see, sometimes the most obvious questions are not being asked by the propagandist regime media. Who's paying for this? Who's sponsoring this? But don't worry, everybody. Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, he says everything's under control. Okay? We have the most diverse regime in American history. I mean, come on. Did you know we have a black Department of Defense secretary? You don't have to worry anymore. Diversity is our strength. We have decided that competency matters no more. What matters is skin color. I mean, come on. We have more women serving in the Biden administration than any other administration in American history. And if you dare disagree that that's a good thing, then you have bigotry in your heart. You have a damaged soul. Cut 11.
We certainly are experiencing a challenging situation, but we are surging resources and we have a multi-prong approach to this. We have sent a very clear message early on, in light of the fact that we are in the midst of a pandemic, that the border is not open and people should not take the perilous journey here. We are returning people to other countries.
He says the border is not open, yet 1.8 million people have entered into our country since the Biden regime has taken office. This is not immigration. This is not even border jumping. This is an invasion. This is an invasion that is sponsored by nonprofit groups. This is an invasion that is sponsored by a lot of Catholic charity groups. This is an invasion that is sponsored by the kind of open borders group. This is an invasion that is facilitated by the billionaire class that wants to see the deterioration of our values and our language and our culture. Texas Congressman August Pfluger, he's at the border calling for the action for the administration. Now, I know August. I've met him before. I disagree on this take in one way. Let's play tape, and I'm going to tell you why I disagree. Cut 12.
This is a crisis. We need the administration to call it a crisis, to take action, not just here, but all along our southern border, where we're going to have 2 million people, illegal immigrants, that are documented. That doesn't include the gotaways. It doesn't include the known or suspected terrorists. We need the administration to do something right now.
Yeah, the regime's not going to do anything. This is where I disagree with August. He's a great guy. I've got to know him. Instead, he should be calling on the governor of Texas and the governor of Arizona to deploy the National Guard and give them arrest authority and say, look, DHS and Border Patrol, you guys are obviously not going to do your job because the president doesn't want you to. We are going to arrest and deport foreign nationals coming into our state, and we will give them free Southwest Airlines flights back to Port-au-Prince any day of the week. We will deport you and we'll deport you again. The federal government is not going to get involved in this, everybody. It is time for us conservatives, and it's time for those of us that actually want a strong border to do it ourselves. Governor Abbott requests federal emergency declaration from President Biden. That's a joke. Requesting a, oh yes, Biden, can you please help us? No. Use your power. Use the Texas Rangers. Use the Texas National Guard. I guarantee you, if you asked for a citizen volunteer force that you could deputize and train in 3 weeks, you would have 100,000 Texans that would be on the southern border. Give them handcuffs, give them a horse. Texans will figure it out. Instead, they're asking for the federal government to come and intervene. It's a joke. The Biden regime is pleased. They are happy. They are content with the fact that 1.8 million people are here illegally. They love that. Stop asking for help and start taking leadership.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional storefront. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning, like what's your car, and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things like mortgages or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or 100% more for the exact same auto parts? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com, they're wonderful people. They love their country, and they don't require membership or an account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com for auto and body parts for hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and truck. Write Charlie Kirk in there. How did you hear about us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com.
You know, some people are saying, well, Charlie, the federal government is in charge of immigration law. It says all those states are able to assist in immigration regulation and enforcement. It is the federal government that has the legal power to enforce U.S. immigration laws. The U.S. Constitution includes a supremacy clause, which prevents state laws from interfering with immigration enforcement by the federal government. It is so interesting and frustrating that Republicans fall for this nonsense. Let's just use a modern example. I'm going to read this again. The Constitution includes a supremacy clause which prevents state laws from interfering with the immigration enforcement by the federal government. You think that Portland and Seattle and San Francisco and Los Angeles complied with that under Donald Trump when they said ICE is not allowed in their cities, when they declared themselves sanctuary states and sanctuary cities? You remember that? You remember when cities said we're going to defy federal immigration law? And Republicans were just like, oh, yeah, that's OK. They're just a little nuts in Seattle and Portland. We're going to let them do it. So let me get this straight. Seattle and Portland, San Francisco, Chicago, New York and Philadelphia can say we are not going to implement federal immigration law. But Texas can't mobilize 20,000 Texas Rangers and National Guardsmen to go arrest people that are coming into their state illegally across the border. You see, this is one of the problems with the Republican Party, because the Republican Party is still living in the 1980s. They don't realize that the stakes have been raised, and all of a sudden, the other side, yeah, they defied federal immigration law, and they did whatever they wanted to do because they picked and chose what laws they wanted to enforce. What I'm saying is, if the federal government will not enforce the law, then the states need to start enforcing the law. Especially when it comes with the flow of illegals coming into your state. Texas was once its own nation. It has a very interesting and unique argument for sovereignty. You see, for conservatives and Republicans out there that are hoping that some federal judge or some decision or some ruling is going to stop this, stop fooling yourself. The only thing that is going to stop this erosion and this decay of the nation, the only two things is the will of the people and the willingness to do it and the courage to act. So you can sign these bills all day long and say, I really hope the Biden regime is going to help out. They're not going to help. You know what the Biden regime is more interested in doing? They're interested in helping out, in instructing the FAA to say to Fox News that they can't fly drones over the camps on the southern border. The 26 governors want a meeting with Biden over the border surge. You see this, how laughable this is? 26 borders want to meet with Biden. The letter that they wrote, you see, the Republicans are still writing letters. This is what we're doing. We're writing letters to Biden. It's a joke. They laugh when they get these letters. They say, Republicans, they really think we live in a different country that used to exist. This is what they said. As chief executive of our states, they say, we request a meeting with you at the White House to bring an end to the national security crisis created by 8 months of unenforced borders, the weak Republicans say. The negative impacts of the unenforced border policy and the American people can no longer be ignored, wrote the governors in their letter. Border apprehensions are up almost 500% compared to last year, totaling more than 1.3 million. more people than populations of nine states. So here you have Republicans writing a letter to Joe Biden begging for mercy. Please, can you have a meeting with us, Mr. Biden? And maybe we can get a picture outside the White House because I've never been there before. Please. Can we have a nice little round table? We could have a photo op. Instead, these governors should be saying, you know what, Joe Biden? You're a waste of time. We don't even acknowledge it. We're going to secure it ourselves. We will take National Guard forces from North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, Arizona, Texas, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, South Carolina, you name it. We're going to mobilize the National Guard. We'll arrest illegals. We'll put them on planes that we pay for, and we'll drop them back in Port-au-Prince. We'll drop them back. We're going to start to secure our own borders. Now, some people say, well, Charlie, isn't that the federal government's role? That whole contract has been broken a long time ago. Do you want to do the right thing, or do you want to beg Joe Biden to do the right thing? The great question is, if something bad is happening in front of you and you have the power to stop it, and the person that should be preventing it is refusing to do it, are you going to wait for that person, or are you going to step up and take responsibility yourself and actually do it? Joe Biden's never going to fix this border crisis because this is what he wants. He smiles and he laughs and he enjoys seeing the flow of people come into the nation. For Republicans out there, if you don't act, the country is over.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our program, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, you could do that at tpusa.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. God bless. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.